A unique tafkid in this generation. First of all, you have to read the map. If a person's going somewhere, he's going to strange territory, you need to read the map. To understand this period that we're living in. And what is the nature of the enemy that we're dealing with? Every generation, the Yetzer Hara comes in different guises. We need to know and understand what our unique mission is. That makes sense. To know what your unique mission is, you have to understand that. You have to understand the territory. You have to look at the map. You have to see what the enemy is, what his koichos are, what he's doing. What makes it difficult is because things are changing all the time and they're changing fast. We have to come to decisions about our tafkid. Who's the chacham? Someone who's makiris makoymi, understands his unique position. There's wonderful, true hashkofas and deos floating around, and they're all true and wonderful. But they may not be relevant today. They may be relevant to something from the past. They may be relevant to the future. You have to find the hashkofa and the deos that are relevant to the matzav now. Things have changed. And therefore applying Torah in the way we did before to a situation today is going to be, it's not going to work. Someone's translate this into English for me. Taf Reish Tzadik Hei was when? 19 what? 1935 or Tavshin Tezvov. Sorry. Tavshin Tavresh Tzadik Hei at Tavshin Tezvov. Lifnei HaShoah, Bezman HaShoah, VaAchrei HaShoah. Before the Shoah, 1935. Achrei HaShoah and during the Shoah. Sacha Kol Esrim Shana, 20 years. Vizmanim, that's why we keep him around. Vizmanim normalim, he does other things as well in his spare time, but that's the main reason why he's here. Vizmanim normalim hayu pe ze noitz betukufu shel bein 500 le'elef shana. Under normal situations, the changes that took place in those 20 years would have taken 5,000 years to have happened. Now, we that live in this generation, that doesn't sound exaggerated, because these things that happen today in the space of a week, that in previous generations would have taken thousands of years to happen as well. Progress was more slow. Aval hayom akol mitrachesh b'meirut mischereres. Nira ki gam be'esim ha'shanim achreini mitrachshut kan mahafacha v'chal shini otzum v'anachne lo simim leif. In the last 20 years, there's been some minor changes in the world. You noticed? Anybody remember what the world looked like 20 years ago? How you spent your day 20 years ago? How much time and money you spent on phone calls today? How much time and money you spend on just communication, social media? Any idea how the world's changed in the last 20 years? You think your brain's working the same as it did 20 years ago? You're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about.
It's changed incredibly.
You did business 20 years ago the way you do business today?
No.
The amount of changes that have taken place in the last 20 years would have taken, the Chofetz Chaim said this already in his time, would have taken 5,000 years to happen. Things are changing and changing fast. The nearest deity, ma'az nefilas hashilaton ha-communisti ba'olam, Shayu Hamo'iz Ha'acharon La'avor Al-Adat B'Kfir. The last Western nation, because that's who we have to deal with. There are not too many Jews living in non-Western nations. They have to deal with anti-religious forcing you not to keep religion. The last Marechet in the world that did that was communism. There are not too many Jews today living under any nation, any country in the world where they are forced not to be Jewish, where there's laws against keeping Torah and Judaism. Anyone know of a place like that today? Is anywhere in the world today like that? Maybe I'm saying, I'm talking about in the West, over how many Yidden are living still in Islamic countries? You know, 20 guys in Iran. I'm saying, but Klali, Roiv Ruba of Jews today live in a place where there's no clear das whatsoever. We'll see after the election. I'm saying anywhere else in the world, there's nowhere. I'm saying there's nowhere. You can live freely, be Jewish. And most of the Jews before the war lived in a place where you couldn't keep religion openly. You know, it was going in Russia in the 50s, the 60s, even up to until just before the fall of communism. Look what came out of Russia. Bris Milah, posh things you couldn't do. Shabo is achrin lavora al das kvefir matzavenu tafuch legamre. And then in him tzam yoisa tachas shibud malchus. There's no shibud malchus over us whatsoever. Our religious freedom is completely obvious to anybody. Anybody who wants to keep Torah and mitzvahs today can do it with very little problem. So that which was the major struggle and challenge that Jews had for thousands of years, Shibud Malchus, we don't have today. You notice that? The reason why we're not keeping Torah today is not because of Shibud Malchus. Anybody here who doesn't keep Torah and mitzvahs today because of Shibud Malchus or because of Asol Shebe Issa? You know what I'm talking about? One says, Rabbeinu Shalom, it's not in front of your kisei kavod that we want to keep your mitzvahs, but what's the problem? There's two things that stop us. Shibud HaMalchus v'asol shebe'isa v'yetzohara. So today anybody can tie now honestly that it's Shibud Malchus that's stopping him from going to Shakri sometime in the morning. Why did you sleep in today? Well, because the goyim wouldn't let me go daven. I was scared to go out because there was a curfew. I don't have that problem. If I don't do anything, it's because of the Yetzirah. It's a major thing. We don't understand how massive that change is. Matzav the omer lo'ira otanu lachshov ma kara. Ma mishtane, we have to think, what happened, what changed? Anybody raising children in this generation, you can raise them the way you were raised?
Absolutely.
You can try, but it's not going to work. Give you a guarantee, fail now. What happened, what changed? Hello, Alocha Shaisav Soina Yaakov. In Yodim Shah Mechoma Ben Yaakov Leisav Natusha at a Rega Haron at Birsam Sikhan. Hey, Haifo, stay a Karav. We know that it's a Halacha Mufreshes. Esav Soina Yaakov, behold over door, Amdolen El Kalos Soina. What happened? What changed? Why suddenly? We know that Halacha, that Esav Soina Yaakov, is at a Sof. So where's the battlefield today? Where's the battlefield? They're not coming to kill us and throw us into gas chambers, so where's the battlefield? Anachno einu simim leiv, aval anu mamash kaini benisim atzumim. It's another thing we don't notice. We're living in the middle of incredible miracles. Sivavoteinu soinim rabim, hamatzirim hashkem ve'erev, keim roitzim lekaloteinu, v'korosh baruch hu yoshev, u'masaschek b'neim, v'bechinesh, v'sasachtim mitzrayim b'mitzrayim. We're surrounded by millions of people who hate us and want to kill us. They destroy us at the drop of a hat, and they're so busy killing each other and fighting each other and busy with each other, they forgot about us. What happened? Syria's busy fighting Turkey. But the Syria to fight Turkey, why are they doing that? They both agree on one thing, Syria and Turkey. Get the Jews. They hate us. So why are they busy killing each other and using up all the resources to kill each other when they could be having a go at us? No idea. Oh, Zenisim. Zenisim Nifloim. Nisim Nifloim. Well, it's Hamas and the PA or whatever. Why are they at each other's throats? Yoim of Allah. They can't get anything together because they hate each other more than they hate us. They all agree on one thing. Put aside your differences. Wipe out the Jews, Khalil, and then we'll go back to killing each other. No, they're busy killing each other. What about the Yidden? We've got time for them right now. We're too busy killing each other. You simply flow. Oh. All the Arab nations that agree on one thing, that the Jews are going to be thrown into the yam, they're killing each other. They're killing each other in droves. Okay. Wow. Take all of that This is going to tell you something. You have to stop and think what's going on in the world today. The other change that's taken place in the last 30 years, which we can't even begin to imagine the enormity of that change all over the world. כשהוא היה ילד, הוא היה מייל ולא אינטרנט, ולא מחשב, ולא טלפון סלולרי. Trying to explain to your kids what it was like living, not about 100 years ago. I'm talking about 30 years ago, 35 years ago. How did you live? There was no email, there was no internet, there was no telephone solaries. There was things called telephone tziburi. There was a public phone, you know, the call box. I remember when I first used to go fundraising. It was the most impossible thing to do, because you had to be near a phone the whole time. So you'd sit at a phone, you'd get somebody who'd let you use his phone. Some guy would give his office or in the house, whatever, you make phone calls, and the guy says, come and see me now. The entire time that you leave the phone, you go see this guy or whatever, you're out of call. People are phoning back because you've left messages. They can't get hold of you. Then if you run back to the office, and the guy left a message, come see me now, was like next door, the guy you just came from. You get back in the car and run all the way back. I remember doing this, crazy. Today you lie in bed and you send out 5,000 WhatsApps and you wait for the money to come in. You don't have to get out of bed in the morning. While you're busy driving, the guy phones you and says you can come now. Oh, boom, tuck, I'll be there in exactly 27 and a half minutes. Boom, off you go. Ah, then you have to have maps. You remember map books? I used to keep this big fat thing in my car, map book, you know, of Johannesburg, Toronto, London, because I'm driving around trying to find the place. Yeah, I'm on my way now. Sorry, where did you say? Third building on the left. You remember what the world looked like? I can't explain it to your children what the world looked like. I can't even imagine. Anybody here lived here 30 years ago and wanted a phone?
Try to get a Simonim. They hoarded them.
A Simonim.
They hoarded them.
Yeah, to order them.
You couldn't get them.
Yeah. That's what were they? Five lira or whatever. To put them in the call box. But do you remember trying to get a phone, yeah? How many phones have you got in your house?
2 years to get it in the house.
2 years to get a phone, until they realize that if you give people call phones, they'll talk and you can make lots of money. And also they woke up. The world's mamash. We laugh about it, but it's mamash changed. How people shop today, how people function today, how people work today. It's a whole different world.
What is interesting, we should be plenty of time now on the technology. And yeah. It seems it's completely...
You would have thought washing machines would have freed women up, you know. Yeah. World's going very fast. He tells you you're living in caveman. You're an ancient. You're a caveman. That's what you are. You lived 30 years ago. You can see to what you have to go. You're a Neanderthal man.
I tried explaining a telex machine to my children. They didn't know what I was talking about.
Telex machine?
I remember that?
Use them. I was in the army. I used them.
Spit out a little punch card.
Yeah.
When I was doing my articles, I remember, it's just one small example. I was doing my articles. We had a trial in Durban. It's an hour flight from Johannesburg. And we need to get documents urgently there. So what do you do today? It takes exactly 1 nanosecond, you scan them and they're there. I got on a plane and I flew. How else could you get documents there? The trial was happening and they needed documents to khuf.
Unbelievable.
How did you get them there? You got on a plane and you flew and you handed them in. You flew back again. Trying to explain that. What? Transport, everything. הם לא מסולגים לכלס השינוי הכתובי בין החיים לפני 30 שנה לחיים של היום. We can't grasp what life was 30 years ago and today. הדומות לכך הם רבות. There are very, very many examples. And this sounds superficial, but we need to understand this. אוכל מוכן, החד פעמי, האינסטנט, דייר בשביל להבין שאנו חיים בתקופה אחרת. Those are three small little examples. It's enough for you to know you're living in a different period. Hamirut, v'hamischereres, של אמצעי טכנולוגי בכל תחום, עבר הסמידה, the amount of information that gets passed over. You go to a doctor today, you know more about the problem you've got than the doctor will ever know. Doctor told me this. Everybody that comes to see him knows more about the problem than him. Why? Because if you've got a problem, you spend 3 hours on the internet checking out everything you know about your problem. Doctor says, I haven't got time to check out everyone's problems for 3 hours. You come in with a certain thing. So I've got 2 minutes to look at it, work out what it is, or I know something about it. You come in, you spend 3 hours researching this. So what do you want from me? It's a real problem. You go to the doctor, you have to tell him what to prescribe, that's all. Because you still need a prescription. Tell him, listen, I need this and this and this. And God goes, okay, fine, check the chairs out of here. Well, what's your problem? It's Besad, honey. It's the Dati. I'm not reading. I've got the whole You want to read through a file? Well, he's got 10 minutes for you. He's got another 30 people waiting outside.
7 minutes.
Hmm?
Not 10 minutes. Like 5 or 7 minutes.
5 to 7 minutes, yeah? Okay. I don't go to the doctor anymore. I've got a computer. What are going to doctor for? A doctor for you. You can make your own prescriptions today.
See the doctor over a video.
Okay.
Yeah. The doctors today that live in Israel and work in New York online. There's lawyers that do that as well. You heard such a thing? But the time, the amount of the impatience, because things happen so quickly. Things happen. You remember still having to book a call? When we lived in South Africa, my sister lived in Israel, we wanted to phone her, you had to book a call. It sometimes took hours. You have to phone up the operator. Yeah. So I want to make a call to Kibbutz Sasa. This is the number.
Yeah.
You never lived in South Africa.
No, it's everywhere. The lines were, there weren't that many lines.
You had to call the operator.
Yeah, yeah. Order the line.
You have to order
the international call. You couldn't just dial direct. You had to go through the operator. It cost like $20 an hour, a minute or whatever. It was much expensive. And it usually the line dropped in the middle and you had to start all over again. And used to wait sometimes hours. Who's got time to wait today for anything?
So we're much more efficient today?
No, I didn't say that. This is not a comment, this is not a statement of judgment call. We're just trying to show how the world's changed and just come to recognize that the world has changed radically. That's all we're trying to do. It's better, it's worse, it's worse. This is what it is. Zeh mashiach. Kol Adam kibel utzma olamis v'yoychel lepoil mitoich ha-machshev v'beisel liknot im kos choyre v'lishalem aleyam v'sof o'ilam ha-tsoife. Everybody's total knowledge and total control of the whole world. You want to buy shares in Outer Mongolia, you can buy shares in Mongolia, you can transfer money, you can move, you can buy goods. Kol. There's no boundaries anymore. V'lechitzes kafto achas v'yodeh ma nasa v'kol olam kibshuteh. One button, you know what's going on in every place in the world. You can find out what's going on in the smallest little dribbly village in the ends of the earth, in Siberia. You can know what is going on. You can watch videos about it. You can see it. There's nothing hidden from anybody anymore. I don't know, leave it a place here. No. Millionen bnei Adam lekika echad b'toich hatra'a shel sha'ot sporot. Get a million people to one place in the matter of hours. It goes viral. There's a protest today in the Tiananmen Square in China, whatever. Within 3 hours, it was a million people. Quick, goes what they say. Goes viral. Twitter and Schmitter and this, and it's going and it's draining and whatever Ha'utzma ha'meirut v'kamut ha'meida ha'bilti nitfosit. The speed, the amount of knowledge that's flying around the world today is you can't even grasp it. It's too much for us to even begin to grasp. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nisan Lanu, Revocha, Kalkelos, V'tzna, Chaim, Shelosh, Tzanim, Avateinu. We live a level, a standard of living today that our ancestors couldn't even dream about. Anachnu do ha'arim lo chalmonu mo'ilam shekach tiyeh ha'meirut bo ha'ilam ishtaneh. Our parents couldn't begin to imagine how fast the world could change. V'umishtana meregel leregel b'kotzem ischare. Kulam yodim haitiv she'akotzev bo anu hoivchim liyois miyishonim ba'ena yaldeinu hu lefiketzev ha-hitpachut ha-technologia. We know that the speed that things are changing, how fast things are happening, the ketzev, the pace of the change that are taking in front of our eyes, it's according to the pace of how technology is opening up every day. Kol patent chadash shelanu loikeach kama chadashim liklot hayelet shalnu toifas beregem anachnu kvayim yishim beinav. Your kids pick this up intuitively.
right.
The changes that are taking place at the technological level, it takes us months to sit and read through the instructions and work out how to do it, and we're even using it properly and whatever. The kids are getting intuitively. They hop it very fast. You know, in business today, you might know about this. It's called reverse mentoring. What's mentoring? Mentoring, you take a young kid, he wants to be successful in life. He looks around, he sees a guy, yeah, who's done really well in business, and he attaches him to self and he learns from him. It's called mentoring. You get a mentor. You know what I'm talking about? You want to do finance, whatever, you find this guy, he's the spitz, whatever, you go, whatever, you might even have to pay him, and you work for him. A big businessman in London, an ex-South African guy, tells me he's doing the opposite. He went to Harvard. He found the smartest, brightest 19-year-old that's floating around Harvard. Okay, and he reverse mentors him. These guys are deciding what to invest in. Most of them say they're investing in hasn't even been invented yet. The money that you're going to be spending if you're an investor next year, those products don't even exist in people's minds yet. And that's the products you're going to be investing because that's what they're going to be selling next year. Most people today that are studying in university are going to work in jobs that haven't even been created yet, producing products that no one knows anything about yet. In the old days, you became an accountant. So what happened? You became an accountant. You bought shares. How did you buy shares? You studied the company. You looked at it. You decided, blah, 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 blah. And you bought shares in the company. Today, who does business like that? Who does business like that? Dinosaurs, maybe. So this guy says to me, I'm sitting here. I'm sitting on this entire massive venture capital fund. I don't know where to invest. Some 19-year-old at Harvard is explaining to him what's going on in the world. He says, they get it like this. It's unbelievable. These are the brightest kids at Harvard, and they reverse mentor. He goes there for these conferences all the time just to keep up. Because I have to sit and learn this stuff. This kid, like, it's just at his fingertips. Artificial intelligence. I don't even know what intelligence is before talking about artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence. I ask somebody, please explain to me what's it going to be like a supercomputer, artificial intelligence. I don't know what they're talking about. I plead stupidity. I haven't got a clue what they're talking about. Yeah, and yeah, the 16-year-old sitting next to me, I will tell you what you're talking about. What's wrong with you? Or did you tell him? He's already using it. He knows what to do. So.
He don't know what to do. He knows to push a button.
No, but he knows what's going on. He understands. They hop it so fast, you have no idea.
They don't hop so fast.
I've seen it. When we started in the early days trying to find filters for the internet and for smartphones and whatever. So the way you did it was you found a 16-year-old kid in Ofakim. Okay, and you gave it to him, and within 8 seconds, he pirated everything that you'd set up.
But he can't design it.
He can design it. He can design it.
He can push the button.
No, he understands how it works. He can design it. He'll tell you. He'll write the software for you. He'll code it for you.
I work with a lot of engineers. The young ones, most of them.
Most of them
biggest
not.
Stuck when you have to think about the problem.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about engineers. I'm not talking about engineers. I'm talking about 16-year-old kids.
I want to push the buttons.
No. 8 year olds too. There was a kid in Ofakim and Ahmed Aliyah.
How did you know that?
Because he knew. When Ahmed Aliyah, 25 years ago, there was a kid in Ofakim who was 16 years old, was being paid $20,000 a month by the police as a retainer. He was paid a retainer just to be available for them. If there was any hacking or any problems or their system shut down or whatever, he had to be available for them. The 16-year-old, they were paying him 20,000. And when he worked, they got paid. That was just to make sure that he was always available for them. 16-year-old, 20 years old. Okay? 16 years old, $20,000 a month. He was being paid a retainer by the police, whatever, their RT division. Because it's just, they get it. Okay. I'm going to argue this out with you. Ein kimat musag shel rav lelechem. Shefa gashmi otsu. Tanugos mamtakim biluim shanachnu doa hoirim loyu chon rafilu lechaloim al kaze shefa. The physical shefa that our kids grew up with today, millionaires 100 years ago never had like that. A millionaire 100 years ago never had a fridge. Sweets on tap. The pleasures, the entertainment, the physical luxuries that we live today, that the average person lives with today. Millionaires 100 years ago didn't live with luxuries like that. A millionaire 100 years ago also had to go outside to the bathroom. They never had a bathroom inside, they never had running water. The difference between him and a poor person was the rich guy had slaves who'd bring the water to him. They didn't have to go fetch it themselves. Yeah, the Edward would light the lamps. He had air conditioning, he had... No. They lived in big mansions? No, they lived in... Go look at Rome, go look at the ruins, the Roman ruins. You'll see that the rich people had very small apartments. They didn't live in big mansions. ומידך גייסאית פחות אדיר רוחניס שגם הוא אינו ניתנס לתאר במילים. At the same time, we see the enormous explosion of Torah and Yiddishkeit. You can't even begin to describe it. Try and explain to someone who's living in Europe just before the war what's going on today in the yeshiva world. They'll tell you it could never happen. It's not shaykh. Yeshivas, koyle bekol miktsoyis haTorah, choshen mishpat, kotshim, taris, kabbalah, koyle lechatzoyis, koyle lenetz chamer, koyle lesrufzufeis, vekoyle letanis dibu. Any what a koyle you want, whatever koyle you're looking for. Koyle where you're not allowed to talk. There's a koyle here now in Hatuv, where from 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night, your telephones are locked up. You have no contact with the outside world. There's koyle here. There's even koyle for balabatim today. There's people, you know, that there's a thing, there's people that they work American hours, so the mornings are free, so they come and they learn Torah in the morning. There's such a thing as well. Pela. Pela Otsu. Well, I'll tell you, I know of a very good one for you. You ran away. There's even things like, no, if you're trying to explain to somebody 20, 50 years ago that you could learn in the morning, live in Israel, learn in Koilel in the morning, and still work in America in the afternoon. Try and explain that. Move on. No, but it's unbelievable the amount of Torah and Ruchnius and access to learning. Online, offline, yeah, sharing tapes, 8 minute daf yomis, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, whatever you want. Whatever you can learn the whole daf in 8 minutes, ma baya. And you can spend the rest of the day in bed. What? A daf yomi pull. Oh, very good. No, that's worth working. It'll be on your watch and it'll imprint into your brain or whatever. Yeah. Problem is, you paid for the effort you put in, not for how much you know. That's, people make a big mistake. They take Western values and apply them to Torah, it flops up. You're not paid for what you know. You paid for how much you sweated to know it. The guy that sits and switches the whole day, at the end of the day, didn't know anything's better off than someone who spent 8 minutes and knows everything. You just didn't get it. You've been paid for your sweat. That's what we just learned, no? You paid for the two first parts. The third part, you're not paid for. That's none of your business. Anyway. The svarim, the books, the golden age of printing today. What a golden age of printing. Anyway, some things don't change. And Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem will carry on. Who would have thought that opposite in Red Square in China, in Moscow, there's quite a lot. Off you go. Some of the victims. There are some Wozinski victims. Yes.
I'm sitting next to me. I said, "Hey, how is Yoni doing? Where is he live? Where does he live now? Yoni.
Yoni doesn't move.
So still.